Again, this evening, we look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and next Sunday morning, we will have completed our study of 2 Timothy. To me, it's been very interesting, and I've really enjoyed my study of this epistle that Paul wrote. I hope you've benefited from it also. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 15. Paul writes in verse 9, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Paul is in prison. And verse 16 of this same chapter tells us that when he made his first defense before the courts of Rome, that no man stood with me. No person was willing to stand where Paul stood and bear the heat and the pressure and the danger of being identified with him. The Bible tells us that after this initial shock, that only a few then were willing to come to him and stand with him in his time of trial. And as we look at the entire 1st and 2nd Timothy, these entire books, you can see that Paul has been badly disappointed in some people, and that as he sits in prison, there are some people who have contributed to his suffering in life whom Paul has not forgotten. It seems like we sometimes feel like that we've read something that we don't want to read, because we get the idea that if Paul was really the kind of Christian that we think he ought to be, we wouldn't be hearing him use men's name and speak of the harm that they did him. I think we would prefer to read where Paul would make a statement that there were some men who did me wrong and I've forgiven them and God blessed them. But we don't see that kind of expression here in some of the writings of Paul. He also longed for Timothy's fellowship. This letter ends with the plea, "Do thy diligence to come unto me shortly." He also writes in one of the latter verses of this chapter, "Come to me before winter." And in this you can see that Paul has a need of some things physically, some things spiritually, but he wants Timothy to come and identify himself with him and to identify himself once and for all with the work of God and suffer, be a partaker in the sufferings of Christ and of Paul's imprisonment. "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me." Hurry up, make haste, and come shortly, very, very quickly. As I said in verse 21, he writes again, "Do thy diligence to come before winter." So you can see in these statements a strong desire that Paul has for Timothy to come and to be with him. He says there were some who were not with him. He mentions Demas, and he says, "Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world." Demas literally abandoned Paul. He packed up and left. It's a very strong word. It doesn't mean that Demas sort of wandered off after having been of great service to the Lord, that he just sort of began to get neglectful about his work for the Lord, or that after a period of time his passion for Paul the Apostle and love for the work just slowly cooled. It's not that word. "Demas hath forsaken," which literally means he made a decision, he packed up, and he took off. And this evidently hurt Paul deeply, as it would anyone who has had a companionship and the fellow person whom we would consider a fellow yoke servant. He mentions Titus going to Dalmatia and Crescens going to Galatia. He doesn't tag them with the idea that they've abandoned the work of God or forsaken him. It just simply states they're not here any longer. Demas was here, he's gone. Crescens was here and he's gone. Titus was here and he is gone. And I have one yoke servant left. Only Luke is with me. Luke, of course, the one who wrote the book of Luke, a physician. And I don't think it's with any difficulty at all that we understand that Luke was there not only to serve God as a preacher, as a teacher, but to be a companion of Paul, the beloved apostle. He also writes, bring Mark, who will be profitable, that means useful, or have a place of service and of great assistance to me. Bring him when you come. You know, he's seeing this a reconciliation. In the book of Acts chapter 15 and Colossians, you see where John Mark has caused some severe dissension among the preachers, and where because others wanted to bring him and Paul didn't want to bring him, the dissension was very sharp. It was contention, in fact, and these people decided not to travel together because Mark had not proven faithful in one trip. And you would think after having suffered this kind of disappointment that he and Paul perhaps would never even speak to one another again, or at least ever serve together again. But there had been strong differences. This man had failed at one point in his service to God. But Paul said, bring Mark with you because he can be profitable in the work of God. And to me, that shows that there may be a time in our lives when we walked away. There may have been a time in our lives when the world got to us. There may have been a time in our life when the work got to us and we didn't work as well as we should, or perhaps we turned away from it. But this shows me that Paul and Mark and all the other people involved could come together, be reconciled, and this person, who evidently had a great ability, could be serviceable again or a profit to the work of God. Tychicus had gone to Ephesus. So Paul says, no one is here but Luke. And he wanted Timothy to bring some things with him when he came. I think this humanizes Paul. It humanizes the man whom we oftentimes look at as being superhuman. It puts who people are like Paul in a place where we can understand it. Here's a man who writes a letter under the superintendency of the Holy Spirit of God, and he says, the cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee. This cloak was a large, sleeveless outer garment of a single piece of heavy material with a hole in the middle through which the head was passed. It was used primarily for traveling and especially for cold and bad weather. That's probably why he said, do your diligence to come to me before winter, because Paul realized that the dungeon would be cold and he would suffer a great deal if he had to spend the winter in this Roman prison. Bring the cloak with you. We never lose our need of things that are physical. I don't think Paul is any less spiritual because he wanted a cloak. We might say he was thinking of the carnal, he was thinking of the things that are common. Why didn't Paul just suffer the cold of his prison and not complain or write, bring the cloak with you? That'd been quite a bit of trouble to carry that cloak all the way from where Timothy was to Rome. As I said, this humanizes Paul. People don't realize that some comfort in life is essential to people doing the best they can for the work of God. So it's not striking or unusual that Paul would want a warm woolen garment to use in his cell. But he writes for Timothy to bring more than that. And the books. The books here are just a transliteration of biblion, the word we get Bible from. And I don't know whether he's talking about the Old Testament books of the Bible, because he uses a different word evidently to describe something else. He uses the word parchments, which is membrane. So he's saying, bring the books and bring the membranes, which would be the books that are written on the skin of sheep vellum, for instance. And it's a leaf book. It isn't just a scroll like we usually think of things, but the leaf books were like our books, only they were on thin pieces of animal membrane, usually sheepskin. So Paul is asking for the books, and he's asking for the parchments. The parchment, the book that he's probably talking about as far as the Bible, is probably the word parchment. They had the Old Testament in the Septuagint version that was in leaf books. And it may be that Paul was saying, bring the scrolls, but those would have really been heavy and cumbersome, the Old Testament scrolls of the Hebrew Bible written on scrolls like they used them. Difficult and not easily used. So it's probably the parchments here was the Septuagint version of the Old Testament. Whatever they were the Word of God and perhaps some other writings that Paul enjoyed reading. He was not willing to be without the books and other writings. He needed the comfort that came from being able to read the Word of God. And there's verses 14 and 15, Paul warns Timothy of Alexander. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. He did Paul much evil. Alexander is mentioned in Acts 19 and 33, an incident there where Paul was arrested and suffered a great deal. But Alexander, to what extent he did him much evil, it is pretty difficult to ascertain. But he mentioned him in his first letter to Timothy in chapter 1 and verse 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So here's a name, Hymenaeus, Alexander, and Philetus, names of men that Paul identifies as men who either preach things that are not true or oppose the preaching of those who preach things that are true. Paul said, of whom thou beware, which means literally guard yourself against this man. He withstood, that is, he opposed. The Bible says in this particular version, greatly withstood our words. This means that he got up and opposed the things that Paul preached, the things that Timothy preached. He was a man who vocally and visibly stood against some of the doctrines that was being preached by Timothy and by Paul. And Paul said, you beware of this man. I have withstood him, and you withstand him. We have opposed him because he is an error, and he has violently opposed our preaching. In the life of Paul, there was the Alexanders who gave him a lot of trouble. There were Philetus and Hymenaeus who were constantly evidently involved in trying to correct the things that Paul said or change what Paul preached. There was Demas, evidently a close personal companion, who when the going got rough, he left. There was Luke, the beloved, who stood with him, and Timothy, who evidently Paul had instructed and who was going to respond and come to him. You know, our lives are made up by coming in contact with a lot of people. Hopefully none of us are Alexander or Philetus or Hymenaeus. Hopefully we're Luke, the beloved physician. Hopefully we're not Demas and love the present world and forsake Paul. That's the only reason it's given. Having loved this present world system, whatever the world has to offer, he evidently just chunked it all, turned around, and went back to it. We come in contact with a lot of people as we work for God. I'm glad that I have you and people like you who are like Luke the Beloved, who don't have to come, who don't have to be excused, but who are in the work of God and in their place in the work of God, as was Luke the Beloved.